You're listening to DraftKings Network.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
Boys, March Madness is back. All right, that was good enough.
Damn it!
We told Lewis not to mess it up. He is now being exiled. That... chorus of people you heard.
Shame.
Juju Gotti on the right, Taylor Viplis on the left, your boy Tunde Tony here. Tony Brackets, as you can see behind me, very important. We are in the Sweet 16, boys, and we have a lot to get to today. We were going to get to what happened in the tournament. Then we're going to get to voicemails from listeners. Then we're going to get to previews for the next couple of rounds because we won't be here to preview the Elite Eight. We're going to give you straight to the Final Four. And then, later on in the show, I'm going to give you my all-socket team. All-socket. Why do you say, what's all-socket? These players are all electric. Only one of them is still playing right now. But all players on this list are electric. So we'll have the all-socket team coming up. We'll have voicemails coming up. We'll have previews coming up. Everything from March Madness. We will take care of you guys. Boys, what an incredible weekend. We had a lot of like negative energy surrounding March Madness here on the show. People are like, oh, you can watch hockey. It's cool. It's better. Whatever. Baseball, European soccer, whatever sports Mike Ryan said. Whatever. Not the point. The point being, March is back in a massive, massive way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay? And we had incredible games throughout the weekend. The Thursday and Friday combo of March Madness, everybody talks about it. It's incredible. We had upsets. We had teams taking out the garbage, meaning they had bad teams that they beat. They were supposed to beat them, took out the garbage, did everything well. What region do we want to start in? Do we want to start with my bracket, which is why we're having the show, Tony Brackets? Yeah. Okay, I'm in the 96th percentile of all brackets on ESPN. 96th percentile, okay?
Is that good or bad?
That
is it better to be the 96th percentile or the 2 percentile?
It means his bracket is better than 96% of other brackets.
So I'm in the 4% if we're doing brackets. That math. I'm in the 4%. So I'm just going to... we're just going to look down here. My Midwest bracket, that's Purdue number one, Tennessee number two, and all that, missed one game in that entire bracket. It was Utah State TCU.
Heat check.
So we are on fire right now. 96% of brackets are inferior in comparison to my bracket.
Real hoopers know.
Thank you. Where do we want to start? What are the big picture items that we want to get to today? Because there was a lot of things that happened. Is it the upset for Kentucky? Is Coach Cal out? Is it the number one seeds advancing to the Sweet 16 for the first time in, I don't even know how many years it's been.
A bunch of them.
I have it here. All four number one seeds in the Sweet 16 for only the fourth time in the past 14 seasons. I want to get to Coach Cal, and I want to get to Kentucky. I was looking at a basketball reference list of guards from Kentucky that have been in the NBA. The guards list in Kentucky is insane. And it almost begs the question, is Coach Cal overrated? I just want to put that one out there for the people. You're looking at Coach Cal. You're looking at incredible NBA players that he's produced out of that Kentucky program. Yet, they continually find a way to lose every single tournament in an astonishing way, this time to Oakland from Michigan. Okay, I don't know how that happened. Oakland from Michigan, Jack Golke and them boys.
To a brother that looked like Freakazoid with no blue on him.
23s. He attempted 23s, made 10 of them, instantly became one of the darlings of the tournament. Taylor, as a staunch basketball, college basketball watcher.
Staunch.
Is Coach Cal at the point of being, you know what? We kind of see the writing on the wall with him.
The thing with Coach Cal is he doesn't really care about the tournament success. If you ask him, all he cares about is putting guys in the NBA. And by his standard, he's the greatest ever.
He's succeeding.
The problem, the disconnect is Kentucky fans want wins in March, and they're losing to St. Peter's. They're losing to Oakland. He hasn't advanced out of the first weekend since 2019.
Which is a million years ago, by the way. For 2019, you're like, damn, that is so long ago.
For a school like Kentucky, the schools like Kentucky, Duke, North Carolina, Kansas, those fan bases don't really care if you're putting the Devin Bookers in the NBA.
Right.
The Shai Gilgeous-Alexanders in the NBA.
They want to be cutting down nets at the end of the tournament.
Exactly. Juju, Coach Cal.
I think my dog is underachieving at this point. If he would have been anybody else without his tenure or his resume, I feel like a new coach would have been on the hot seat and it would have been on fire by now. Couldn't wait to get him out of there. So I know that he's getting a lot of people to the NBA, but dare I say, people in Kentucky could give a damn.
There's a lot of interesting things that I like to look at, too, when it comes to the conferences that make it into the tournament, right? There's obviously stronger conferences. You think of the SEC, right? Some good teams there. You obviously have blue bloods that are playing in that conference. And then you look at the opposite of success, the failure that they've had as a conference. They've had Auburn losing to Yale 4-13 seed. They've had 5-12 upsets. Kentucky lost. Wisconsin got part of the Big Ten, but still, James Madison over Wisconsin. Grand Canyon over St. Mary's. There's been a lot of upsets in this tournament. A lot of them have to do with SEC schools. Florida gets upset by Colorado, too. I had Florida going deep. I like Clayton. I thought he was... College basketball is basically, if you have one guy that's better than all the other guys, mm-hmm. we can make a run on this
especially
team.
If he's a guard.
Especially if
he's a guard, you can talk
game.
Yourself into
100%.
It.
100%. Like Zach Edey, right? I look at Zach Edey, I'm like, okay, he's the biggest player in the tournament. He's the biggest player, I think, in college basketball, right? There's nobody 7'5", 290 pounds or whatever he is.
Right.
But you have to get the ball to him. He can't dribble the floor. He can't make sure that he gets... his, you know, in open spaces, he can't create his own offense like that. When you have a guard that can do those things, that allows me to believe in your team so much more than if you have a solid big man.
Right.
Like 1,000%.
Mm-hmm. Like Oregon, their guards was going crazy. I salute the, what's his name? Croissant? Or what's his name?
Jermaine Cousinard.
Cousinard. My boy, he had the green light because he bringing the ball up, so he might pull from here nor there. You dig?
He broke the Pac-12 record for most points through two games. In the tournament, he had 72 points in two games,
man,
beating Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's record. That's insane.
That's crazy. And it caught the L.
And it's right. And it still didn't matter. But the I don't want to get in trouble with this.
Uh-oh.
But it feels like the take of upsets are great. Until we get to a certain part in the tournament where then we have a lot of the upsets and we're like, ooh, Oakland versus whoever.
Right.
Not great. Not great basketball. We struggle college basketball as is right now. Right? Like the level of hoops in college is good until you see what the pros do. And then you're like, ooh, that actually looks really, really bad. Right? Like every level, when you look back a level, right? Middle school basketball is great until you watch high school,
right?
Until you watch college, until you watch pros. So it's like your thoughts, guys, on would you rather have all chalk make it into the tournament? Would you like to have the FAUs, the UMs, the San Diego States, three of the four, you know, final four teams last year that nobody really gave a chance to because nobody really knew anybody on their team?
Yeah.
I like the upsets sprinkled in throughout, and especially early in the tournament. But like you said, by the time you get to the Elite Eight, you don't want a team who's a double-digit favorite. And there's a lot of times where those teams can make these crazy runs, the VCUs, the FAUs, these small programs that kind of take on that Cinderella mindset, the Loyola Chicagos. But then there's also the flip side of that where, you know, I went to Carolina. I'm a Carolina guy. Carolina played St. Peter's in the Elite Eight for a trip to the Final Four, and it was the least worried I've ever been about a game. Because I'm watching the teams warm up pregame, and everybody on St. Peter's, their tallest guy is like 6'6", right. And I'm like, okay, we have Armando Bacot, 6'10". Like, we're going to walk to the Final Four. And then they did exactly that, and it was a non-contest of a game. So I do like some upsets. I think that's what makes March Madness great, but you can't have so many to the point where you are getting – these lopsided games, because I think at the end everybody wants the best team to win, and it's most likely going to be one of these top seeded teams.
Right. Yeah, I prefer like 3-1, like one Cinderella make it to the dance and three fellas, because at the end of the day, nobody wants to see FAU really play anybody ever. Salute to the Foul Owls and and congrats to head coach getting to Michigan, but when it gets to the money, the money start being involved, and you putting them, like you say, when you seen St. Peter's come out there on the court, you're like, okay, yes, sir. Armando, do work. You feel me? So, yeah, I like 3-1, maybe one good story, but no more than one.
And you look at last year's Final Four, San Diego State made it to the championship game. They beat FAU.
Right.
And it was like, I kind of would have rather seen FAU.
Right.
Right?
I wish they would have made Miami play FAU last year in the Final Four to see who goes. But they put them on opposite sides.
Should we reseed? Mm. Once you get to the Final Four, you reseed. And you're like, wait a second. Let's see if we can get a better matchup.
That'd be
because
fire.
Because I remember a couple years ago, UNC and Duke had an incredible game in the Final Four, and right. It wasn't the championship game.
Right. And they sent Coach K ass packing.
Yeah. Right, right. What year was that? Was that 2020?
That was 2022, because Carolina missed the tournament 2023 as the preseason number one.
Yeah.
2022, they went to the Final Four. And going into that Final Four game against Duke, I prayed the night before, and I was like, God, just let me have this one, and I don't care what happens in the championship.
Bro, I feel like that's the ultimate victory, bro. To beat Duke and send Coach K into oblivion, That's the ultimate UNC victory, bro.
Does that matter to you more than a championship? Or would you rather have the championship?
That is a tough question. In hindsight, I would have rather have had a championship, because that's something that gets hung up in the Dean Dome. You get a banner for that.
Right.
But beating Duke in the Final Four is as close to a championship as you're going to get. And it's ultimate bragging
and
rights.
And ending Coach K.
Yes.
Right.
Like, that's huge.
Hell yeah.
All right. You know what? We're going to switch it around. Let's do a couple voicemails here. We got a couple voicemails you guys called. Left your best hot takes. Juju?
Bro, my bad. But I think that the world needs to hear what you just said, though. Reseeding at the Final Four, that's only you can get that on Tony Brackett,
come
bro.
On, man.
Because that'll be a brilliant idea, at least a lottery ball situation or whatever. So I'm
that's
with
right,
you,
bro. That's right.
I'm
we put in. Everything in a one of those lottery bingo
right.
things.
You make it to the Final Four.
Anything can happen.
Right.
Right?
Like, it's a made-for-TV event, too.
It really is.
You feel me?
The Final Four seeding, the reseeding of Final Four would go crazy.
Hashtag Tony Brackett. You know where you heard it first.
Come on. If you heard it somewhere else, they copied it from right here.
You did.
Let's do the voicemails.
Yo, first of all, shout out to you, Tende. God bless you for bringing back Rafon Del Dia, Real Linguist Snow. Mm. Speaking of which, Calabasa, Calabasa, Tolo Mundo Pasukasa.
Wow.
It's directed at your UConn Huskies, my friend. Iowa State, the Cyclones, coming for that crown. To Sean Gilbert and them boys. Ames Iowa, stand up. I'm predicting not only will they beat UConn and make their way to the Phoenix, but they're going to win the whole damn thing once they get there. And you know it.
Wow. Dismounted with an and you know it. Okay. I wish he would have said his name. Did he say his name?
No.
We didn't get his name. Okay. Well.
His name, I know he was smoking some stuff.
Unnamed Iowa State Cyclone fan. Illinois is a tough team to play. Illinois has a very good offense. Iowa State has a very bad defense, if I'm reading the metrics correctly.
Iowa State has the number one defense.
I'm reading the metrics incorrectly. They have the best defense. Illinois has a great offense.
Yeah.
So it's a matchup of
strength versus strength.
Strength versus strength. Nice. You always talk about who can do what. When you have best offense versus best defense,
mm-hmm.
What's going to happen here?
Reminder, your bracket is in the 96%.
96%. No, I read it wrong. I didn't have my glasses on when I read it.
Right.
But, look, I do have UConn. I think that they are probably the best team left. I liked UNC. Taylor pushed me off of UNC to win the whole thing, even though I like that their collective age is 29 and a half on that team. I like experienced guard play, so that's a very important distinction. But it feels like, when was the last team that went back-to-back? Because UConn won last year. The last team to go back-to-back in a final, I mean, is it like UCLA? Oh, it's the Gators, my bad. Gators 06-07.
Joakim Noah.
Yeah, Joakim Noah and them boys. Al Horford.
Yes, sir.
Can we pull up that team? Can you see if you could pull up that team for me, see who was on that team?
Hell yeah.
06-07, Florida Gators, last team to repeat. I feel like Ohio State was...
The band used to play, da 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 da. You can call me Al.
Corey Brewer, Joakim Noah.
Oh, Corey Brewer. Corey Brewer is a good one. Joakim Noah, Al Horford.
Spates,
Al Horford. Mo Spates off the bench. Big dog.
Billy Donovan, coach it.
All right. Let's do another voicemail.
Hey, 10 Day Tony. This is Bourbon Toast Warren. Hey, man. Who is going to be the new Blue Blood? Who are you deeming the new Blue Blood? Blue Blood. Thanks, 10 Day Tony. Again, it's Bourbon Warren.
Hey.
The boy, Bourbon Warren. I'm looking at my teams here in the round of 16, and it feels like year in and year out, there's two teams to me that are consistently in the Sweet 16, Elite Eight. One team has had a lot of success, but I don't know if we'd call them a blue blood. One team is had success back in the day and is now getting more success currently. I feel like those, the two teams that I feel like are most blue, are ready to step into the moniker of Blue Bloods is, I'd say, Houston. I feel like Houston had the legacy play of back in the day, right? The Houston Phi Slamma Jamma went off for a while. Now is back, seemingly always a one seed, always going deep in the tournament, always has good teams. The other team I would say, are they Blue Bloods? Gonzaga. Mm. Would you consider Gonzaga a Blue Blood team? Again, had success, had some players back in the day, have Adam Morrison, even further back than that, John Stockton.
Right.
You look at those teams, you're like, there's the formula that we make for Blue Bloods. Do you have legacy? Right? Do you have a legacy program? What have you done for me lately, Eddie?
Yep.
As Eddie Murphy once says.
Jalen Suggs and them boys.
Exactly. I'd say those are my two teams. I'd say Houston and I'd say Gonzaga right now. Out of the teams that are left,
yeah,
are the teams that I'd say are closest to getting blue blood treatment than anybody else.
And Houston got a legend coach as well, so yeah, definitely.
Kelvin Sampson, the boy.
Hey, Tony Brackett's stewing a mobile phone, first time, long time. Love the show. Great show, man. Anyway, quick NCAA March Madness question for you. Of the teams remaining, 16, which team has the most experienced guard play? Also, was anyone else talking about North Carolina State back in January other than that guy Stugatz? Amazing. He's incredible. I'll hang up and listen.
Thanks, Duana Mobile. He was the only one really talking about NC State. I know Taylor obviously watches all ACC games, contractually obligated to talk about UNC and the in-state rival of NC State. But it seems like nobody was really talking about except for Stugatz.
Right.
Somehow that slipped under the radar for everybody. I don't know how. I don't know why. To answer Stu's question, there's no other team that has more senior guard play than UNC. I said it tongue-in-cheek, but I was actually only 4 years off. Their average combined age is 25.
Right.
How?
Salute to the DJs.
Is it Armando Bacot's just 37, so it kind of like brings everything down? Why is everybody so old on your team, Taylor?
Armando Bacot is 24 years old, I'm pretty sure. He's not the oldest player on the team. It's Cormac Ryan. Cormac Ryan, the Notre Dame transfer, is 25. He's the only player born in the 90s on the Carolina.
Oh, my 98. God.
Me and Bacot went to middle school together. For real.
It does feel like he's been there forever.
He's been there since before the pandemic, right?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes. Like, we're talking about 5 years ago.
His first tournament got canceled.
Because of the pandemic?
Because of the pandemic. Right. Him and Cole Anthony were in the same recruiting class.
Oh, my God.
And it feels like Cole Anthony's been in the NBA
forever.
Right. He did them Timberland boots and a dunk contest. Bacot still hooping in the UNC.
I forgot about the Timbs. Armando Bacot plays like he's wearing Timbs the entire time. Lead feet. UNC. That's the answer, Stu. UNC. Let's do a couple more.
Oye, este mensaje es para Tony Brackett. Oye, Tony Brackett,
dime.
Me dicen que tú eres el tipo de los brackets. Yo estoy haciendo un closet en mi casa, brother, y quería saber cuánto cuestan unos brackets. Ok, bueno, llamo más tarde. Bye.
I know what he said, but I don't think Juju knew what he said, if you could explain.
Okay. I think this guy may have been confused. What he did is he said, Tony Brackets, I know that you're the guy that does the brackets. I'm redoing my closet. How much would it take for you to come out to my house and do the brackets? So he wanted an estimate on closet repair. Primo, no. Gracias, pero no.
Hey, I feel like you might know a little something, though. Hey,
I mean,
you
I can always.
You and Jenny done moved a couple times.
Come on, I can always put a bracket together. You know that. That's why they call me Tony Bracket. That's why you see this face back here. I don't know if you could put wide shot here.
Right.
That's a face of trust right there.
I trust it.
That
for
means
sure.
I got you. Let's play another one.
10-day Tony. Tell the job on the bracket, my man. Salute to you.
Thank you.
I got two questions for you. First, what one seed do you think is most likely to make it out of the weekend? Second, who is the highest seed you think will make it out of the weekend? Thank you, sir. I appreciate you and everybody at the show. Happy birthday, Brusco.
Hey.
Happy birthday, Brusco. Excellent questions. What's the number one seed most likely to make it out of the weekend? I'm going to stick with UConn because I have them going all the way. I have them winning. So I need UConn to be the one seed that makes everything through. And when we're talking about highest seeds, we have kind of a chalk mix this year. There's a lot of, I'm just going to read you through East-West. 1-5-3-2, 1-4-6-2, 1-4-11-2, 1-5-3-2. Like a lot of chalk made it to the...
I mean, that 11 is the ACC champs.
Is the ACC champs, NC State, right. Wolfpack. I have to check because... I want to check my bracket here because I don't want to say something that's incorrect. I've basically got all chalk moving up. I've got UNC UConn in the Final Four, and I've got Houston Tennessee in the Final Four. Those are my two picks. So what I want to see NC State. But that would also tank Houston, who I have in the finals. So I can't do that. So the answer for me is going to be Tennessee. University of Tennessee, they're going to beat Creighton. Then they're going to beat Purdue in the Elite Eight, head to the Final Four. So I'm taking Tennessee as my lowest seed, which is a 2. And then I've got UConn, my number one seed, which will be the one seed to make it out of the weekend.
Nice.
You have one more in there? No more. All right. Let's get to the all-socket team. All socket team. Why do you all socket team? I don't get it. Why? Because all the guys that I'm about to mention to you are all electric players. Do we have the fanfare?
I see a button labeled fanfare. I'm just gonna press it.
Okay, let's see. Let's see if it works right now. All right. Okay, that was just for it working. Perfect. All right. At guard for our all electric team. We have a lot of guards on this team, by the way. It is what it is. Guard for our electric team. Number one. Boo Booey. Electric player, as all of them are here on this list, but almost single-handedly took Northwestern somewhere. I don't know where because they weren't going to make it to the Final Four. But, Taylor?
They ran into a buzzsaw at UConn.
I mean, you know, I didn't want to say it. I know, obviously, Greeny thinks that UConn can make the NBA playoffs in the East. We won't get there. But Boo is a great player, gets into the paint, has touch with both hands around the rim, great floater game, can get to a spot on the court. I really like Boo Booey. Number two, our second guard, Keisei Tomenaga.
Hello.
Japanese Steph Curry. The dude is electric. Lefty, can shoot from anywhere. He started off really high, I think 3-for-3 in his game against Texas A&M. And then kind of the wheels fall off. I saw him shoot a couple air balls. I was like, ooh.
It felt like we were getting a moment.
We were. It felt like 3-for-3. I was like, oh, my God. He's going to have 40
tonight.
He was
hitting like the MJ, like, shrugs.
Yes, right. Yes. And then he kind of like goes like this to his face, like smushes his face. I was like, oh, my God. We were about to have a legendary performance. And then can we see what he shot that game?
He finished 7-of-17, 40% from the field, 5-of-11 from 3.
You know?
Really, that Nebraska team had no business
at all.
Being like a tournament team if it wasn't for him.
At all.
One adorable cry he had as well. Exactly. Just so touching. Him and his girlfriend, salute.
He was just so good in that in the tournament. Not only the tournament, but that first in the conference tournament. But then also in that first game where I was like, oh, wait a second. We're going to get something special. We ended up getting an electric performance from him. All right. At the forward spot, a guy that everybody wanted to talk about. That he's probably going to be playing in the NBA because of how much we talked about him during this tournament, Jack Golkey.
Hey.
There is, if Duncan Robinson can make a $90 million contract, Jack Golkey can play in the NBA.
Yeah, you're right about that, for sure. At least $20
million. I mean,
for the Raptors.
He can be on somebody's bench, come out, shoot 15 threes, and make six of them. Yep. He can absolutely do that. He's our forward there. We're going to have to play fast and loose with forwards here because it is what it is. Our other forward, Jermaine Cousinard.
Oh, yeah.
Oregon. Guy can certified bucket.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's also in the Venn diagram of certified buckets. I think all electric team kind of is a certified bucket list, too.
Boo Booey,
Kase, Cousinard, Jack Golkey.
Yep.
Buckets, all of them. Even though Jack Golkey, we were talking about it when it originally happened, Taylor, you and I. You had texted me, hey, Golkey's only attempted 8 two-pointers this entire season.
372 field goal attempts this season. 364 three-point field goal attempts.
That, and how many twos he made? Like one, two?
He made a couple of twos.
Okay.
But my man does not go inside the paint. Unless it's for a down screen, he is not going in the paint.
Oh, my God, bro.
Can we do the percentage of how many two, like percentage-wise, how many twos he shot? It was, what, eight of... A segment we like to call math on radio.
You're putting me in a bad spot.
I know. 8 divided by 357?
372.
372 divided by 8. Yeah. A very, like, 0.002% of his shots. All right. And at the center position, the big dog, DJ Burns from NC State.
Oh, yeah.
There we go. DJ Burns from NC State. I just like seeing big guys like that.
Right.
Right? Like him. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, when we look at those guys that a couple of years ago say, you know what, this guy cannot be playing hoops.
At all.
And then you see him in there bodying people, little baby jump hooks, finishing around the hoop. I love that. So
he's listed at 6'9", 275. I've seen him in person. He's not 275. He's easily over 300 pounds.
For real?
And they call him, his nickname, the Dancing Bear because of how light he is on his feet.
Oh my God, bro.
This is March.
I hate how likable this NC State team is.
Right. Zach Randolph with dreads. That's exactly. What he's like, Zach Randolph.
He's 6'9", probably 3 bills plus. But again, light on his feet, finishes around the hoop, nice little J, like, This is a good player. So all electric team, Boo Booey, Keisei Tominaga, DJ Burns, Jack Golkey, Jermaine Cousinard. Those are our list for the All-Socket team. Do we have enough really quick to go through and build out our final four?
Ooh.
Really quick. We're not gonna take too much time on this. All right, UConn, San Diego State. We're taking UConn, yeah?
For sure.
Okay. Illinois, Iowa State. Illinois in this one. I think offense beats defense. Yeah.
Salute to the caller, but I'm going Illinois as well with you, bro.
Okay, Taylor?
I like Iowa State, but I'll go with the group.
I'll put Taylor, Iowa State. Okay. we're moving over to the West, North Carolina, Alabama.
North Carolina has to win.
UNC,
game.
Yeah. It's a must-win game?
Yes. I'm upgrading it.
Whoa!
I guarantee North Carolina wins.
Wow, I like that. Okay. Moving on, Arizona hasn't made it to the Elite Eight or Final Four in a long, long time. Clemson versus Arizona.
Arizona for sure.
I like Arizona in this just because it sets up the matchup North Carolina versus Arizona. Wow, Arizona has the Pac-12 Player of the Year, Caleb Love,
right?
Who transferred
tough too.
From North Carolina.
Yeah, exactly.
Ooh, love hurts.
Okay, moving on to the South region. Houston versus Duke in a banger of a game. Really good game.
Houston.
H-Town.
I'm going Houston.
Okay, Taylor?
I like Duke.
Oh, clip it.
Oh, my God.
Duke's got good guards.
Clip it.
Okay, Taylor picks Duke. All right, NC State Marquette.
Marquette?
I'm going Marquette. Are you sure?
All right, Shaka Smart and them boys.
Are you sure? I want this NC State team to win, though.
Right, that's what I have.
I want this team to win.
I'm going NC State.
All right, I'm going to put Taylor down for Marquette. And me and you are going NC State.
For sure. Let's go DJs.
All right, in the Midwest, Purdue Gonzaga. is a tough one. Purdue. It's a, Kate, Taylor, you called for it. Legacy moment for Purdue right now. Yeah. If you don't do it now, when are you going to do it?
Zach Edey is two-time. He's going to be a two-time National Player of the Year. No Final Fours to show for it. I've got Gonzaga.
Wow.
Juju? I'm with my boy Taylor. Nah, Zags, I feel like the Zags are just a better team, man. Salute to Zach Edey, but the Zags are zagging.
I think I'm going to zig.
Ooh.
I think I'm going to zig here. I'm taking Purdue. I'm going to take Purdue.
Zigging against the Zags.
Zigging against the Zags. All right, last game of the bracket here. Creighton and Tennessee. You guys know where I stand. I'm taking Tennessee to go to the Final Four. Yeah. So I'm on Tennessee.
Yeah.
I also have Tennessee.
All right, Tennessee all the way down. All right, really quick. Houston. Oh, we can't even do it this way because we all have different picks.
You give yours.
All right.
You're the one in the 96%.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Right. Who are we?
All right, I'm going UConn to get to the Final Four over Illinois. I'm taking UNC over Arizona. That sets up UConn versus UNC in that side of the bracket. On the other side of the bracket, I'm taking Houston over NC State or Marquette, whoever it is, doesn't matter. And I'm taking Tennessee. And then from there, that's our Final Four. UConn, UNC, Houston, and Tennessee.
Nice.
Which is a 1-1-1-2.
That was your initial Final Four.
That was my initial Final Four. I have all my Final Four teams still alive, boys. I want to thank Juju. I want to thank Taylor for putting this together. Tony Brackets. You know, that's what we do around here. In the 90-some-odd percentile, we still have mad points to go on the ESPN Bracket Challenge. We are living life. We are all over the place. Let's see. What I'm going to do a little Tony Riley here. Right here, main shot.
Hey!
All right, everybody. Mother's Day is officially around the corner. If mom's gift isn't already on the way, you've got hours, maybe even minutes, to get it together. So head over to 1-800-Flowers.com right this second. 1-800-Flowers still has great last-minute deals on handmade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts ordered easily and delivered fresh. You want to get mom something that shows your appreciation for all that she's done? We know you've been a knucklehead. She knows you've been a knucklehead. Please do better. Help your mom feel appreciated this Mother's Day. This is your last chance to lock in these Mother's Day deals. Only good while supplies last. Order today at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan, D-A-N. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.